Welcome to the Carrots and Cake podcast. I'm your host, Tina Hoppert, an FDN practitioner, author, mom, and IBD advocate. Tune in each week for real-life advice and strategies for becoming your happiest and healthiest self, all while thriving in the gray area. Trust me when I say you can have your carrots and cake too. Welcome to the next episode of the Carrots and Cake podcast. Today, I have a special guest here, one of my favorite people to follow on Instagram. I have Emily Field here. She's a registered dietitian. And in my head, I think she's quite the macro guru. And I think we have very, very similar perspectives on macros, nutrition, dieting, fueling our bodies properly, fitness, all of that good stuff. So I'm really, really excited for this conversation today. So I'm going to stop talking. And Emily, would just love to know who you are, what you're all about, you know, the usual introduction things.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I feel definitely aligned with your practice as well. I've loved following you for years. But like you said, I'm a registered dietitian. And I work exclusively online. I'm really in that space of helping women learn how to eat to get strong and fit and lean. Most of what, you know, you and I have probably come to the conclusion is that most women only know how to eat less than what they need. And so when they finally get to a place in their life where they want to get stronger, they want to get leaner, they want to age gracefully, they want a healthier metabolism and hormones, it's a pretty big gap between what they used to do and what they should be doing. And that's where I fit in and helping them learn how to eat more to support those goals.
Yeah, 100%. And I think this is where a lot of what we talk about overlaps, and it's very, very similar, is that, you know, macros are wonderful, but I feel like a lot of times I get this bad rap because you can abuse the hell out of them for sure. Yeah.
I mean, just like any other eating pattern for sure.
Yeah, you can undereat. I mean, you can hit your macros with protein powder and donuts. There's like so many different ways to use them. So maybe we start there as far as maybe just how you use macros in your practice and maybe some of those misconceptions, you know, that
Absolutely.
I think women fall into as far as macros. Because the other thing I wanted to hopefully have you comment about a little bit is that this idea, sorry, I'm asking you six questions in a row. Like macros don't work. And I think they don't work when you use them a certain way. So I'll just let you talk because I just asked you like four questions in a row.
Yeah. Well, I will first say your comment about protein powder and donuts, like that was my impression of macros as a registered dietitian coming out of school, having had a few jobs under my belt in the traditional space as a registered dietitian. I started CrossFit, right? And so in CrossFit, I came across this, if it fits your macros, like flexible dieting, these words that I had never heard before. And people were using, you know, they're feeling very confident about nutrition having followed this framework. And so I'm like, oh, I got to learn this. But the impression that I got at the time, this is probably 7 years ago, the impression that I got was that truly was this, you can eat whatever you want as long as it hits your macros. And the people that were using that mindset were publishing articles and podcasts and Instagram posts with foods like triple cheeseburgers and donuts and protein powder. And it really wasn't, I was like, how is this possible? It seems like magic. It was really, I think, the clickbaity, sexy side of if it fits your macros or macro tracking. And that's not fair because there is not a single person that I know, including myself and any of my clients, that can realistically hit their health goals, their body composition goals, their athletic performance goals, eating in a trashy way like that. And I don't mean that word in a, like, I hate using words to describe food, but we're all talking about the same thing here, highly processed foods, things like that. So I will say that in my first digging of the approach, I was like, what is this? Like, this poppycock, what are we talking about here? But what I quickly realized is that was clickbait marketing. And when you really get down to it, forming your meals with protein, fat, and carbs in balance, probably from mostly whole real foods that you have control over in your kitchen, is going to be the easiest way that you hit your macros. And so I was determined at that time to really take what was sexy and clickbaity online and really turn it into something that clients could use in the real world. Because your average mom, dad, head of household, student, working professional is not so much interested in making a whole pizza fit their macros. They're just trying to eat with their family without guilt or shame. And that's where I really felt like I was able to bridge that gap between that sexy online space and like how we use macros in a realistic way.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what I was kind of saying about like following you on Instagram. Definitely follow Emily on Instagram. I just love how you put the information together in a very real life, realistic way, because if it fits your macros or this idea of flexible dieting, yeah, you could eat Quest bars and Protein Founder and like all that stuff and maybe not feel your best, but hit your macros. So I love that you do have a different approach to it. So for somebody that's listening to this episode and they're like, been there, done that with macros, like they don't work, or they just had a tough time with them as far as using them as a tool to get to their goals. What would you tell somebody that maybe just needs a different perspective on macros, or maybe just how they can be used differently than the traditional, I'm just going to cut calories and diet down?
I usually like to tell people calories control one thing, and that's whether or not you gain weight, lose weight, or maintain your weight. Macros control, it's kind of like a puppeteer. We're pulling strings with protein, fat, and carb, the makeup of those calories, in order to achieve results that we're looking for. So that can be any wide-ranging number of results. That could be whether or not you gain or lose body fat, gain or lose muscle. You have optimized hormones and you're supporting your hormones, your recovery, your sleep, your energy. So essentially what I like to tell people is the difference between your meal plan, your little blocks and points, a little method over there, that's controlling one thing, and that is calories only. What I'm asking you to do is go one step deeper and look at the makeup of those calories, because by pulling those strings and forming meals that have an equal amount of protein, fat, and carb, we can certainly see improvement in many areas of your health. So I guess what I would say to the person who says it's not working is, what are you looking for? Because when you say it's not working, my mind goes to one thing and your mind's in a completely different spot. Most people think it means weight loss. Most people are saying that phrase and saying it's not working because they're trying to say they're not losing weight. But when we really are looking at being the puppeteer and having macros controlling, kind of manipulating multiple areas of our health and fitness, our body composition, I might ask you a series of other questions about, what are you looking for? Where have you seen improvements in these areas? Are you sure it wasn't working? So there's usually a lot more follow-up questions to that. And I love getting those questions in the emails and in the DMs. A potential client will realize like, maybe I really didn't execute the way I thought I was, or maybe I wasn't looking for the right things when I said it was or wasn't working.
100%. I love those conversations too, because I do feel like sometimes it is those like light bulb moments or those aha moments. Mm-hmm. And like I was saying, like these misconceptions or like macros get a bad rap. There's so many stories, you know, coming from CrossFit. You know, I did CrossFit for a really long time. We'd have these like, you know, macro challenges and, you know, random macro calculations, and the thing that worked was just eating super low calorie, which I think is a great segue to this whole idea of these restrictive diets. Like, I feel like it's a time of year too. I'm seeing the Optavia, the Noom, and the Beachbody, and like a lot of these like low calorie diets. And really, like, what is the problem with these diets in the sense that, like, yeah, you're going to lose weight, but like, what are you missing out on?
Yeah. At what cost?
Yeah.
I see this a lot with, yes, we are in that time of year with the restrictive diets and things. And people are at that time of year now where they did try something and it didn't work the way they thought it was going to, or they're starting to slip up. Their bandwidth is just too low, or they're feeling like they don't have enough focus to maintain such a low calorie diet or such a restrictive eating pattern. So now they're like looking for something different. And if that's macros, like, welcome. I'm very happy for you to be here. But I don't know if you feel like you get this sense. I talk about this with my team a lot. Sometimes I think people are seeking the most painful option. So if they lost weight on something like Optavia or HCG or Weight Watchers points, and then they gain it back, they weren't able to maintain that for whatever reason, they next think that the next most effective diet needs to be more painful. They must experience pain and suffering in order for them to know it's working. And I don't know if that's just an association with, well, when it worked before, I was also miserable, so this time needs to be miserable. But I find that with macros, it's so not miserable that sometimes people think it's not working. They're like, well, it must be going faster. I should be seeing XYZ. And it's like, no, honey, this could actually be real life. Like, you could just continue to eat exactly like this and continue to see the benefits you are seeing now. But because it's not painful, they almost like a red flag goes up. Do you hear that too?
Oh my gosh. And that is like exactly like this idea of you got to diet harder for it to work. Harder. So mm-hmm. It needs to be more chicken breast, more tilapia, mm-hmm. more dry salads. And like, yeah. You know, you have a cheeseburger or some cookies, like you're not doing it right. So right. 100% agree with that.
I do have a lot of clients where that is their previous mindset and they're interested in making changes there. And one exercise that we do during coaching is track through all of those phases. Track macros even when you're having an episode of the screw it's, or track macros even when you know you're going to go over your prescription. Track macros when you are on vacation, even if it's loosely, or when you're traveling, because it proves to yourself that this is a method that you can do at any time. It's simply providing some guidance and nutrition education. I like to say it's like the bumper rails at the bowling alley. It's not going to make you a better bowler. It's getting you a little bit closer to your target. It's not telling you how to eat. It's telling you the quantity to eat, and you have the choice to eat whatever you want in that framework. But again, I think that all or nothing mindset that we're just describing with the person who wants it to be more painful, asking them to do the method when it's not painful or like through multiple situations helps them really tone down that like inner girl, like mean girl voice that it should be more painful or it should be more drastic or something like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that will resonate with a lot of people listening here, because I do think this idea of dieting or, you know, losing weight needs to be miserable and you need to like white knuckle it. And just working with women and being in this space, why do you think people are attracted to that? Like, why? Like, why?
I tell you, I think
they think it works.
Yeah.
But is it some sort of like mindset part of it as far as like the perfectionism, or maybe it's the type of women that we attract?
Mm-hmm. It could be that. I think too, when you grow up, like there's a right and wrong way to achieve this. And so if I just follow the rules, if I just check all these boxes, I will get what I want. It's like a little bit of like, you're the good girl in school. You're like good with your parents. Like you're good with your friend group. You're just trying to just do the right thing and stay in the right lane. If I do these things, my life will be great. And I think part of growing up and part of breaking through some of that is realizing that progress is in the messy middle. It's in the experimentation. It's in the like choosing to do things wrong on purpose, just for the sake of experimentation. I tell this to clients all the time, just like you learned it the quote wrong way means you can unlearn it too. So some people come to me saying, well, there's no possible way I could eat more. I just can't get through it in my head that I am not supposed to be 140 pounds, or I only know how to eat less and move more. Like I couldn't possibly do it differently. It was like, you learned that at some point. You have the ability to unlearn that. And that's our time in coaching, as we get to practice unlearning that.
Yep. I love the unlearning.
Yeah.
It's probably my favorite part. And mm-hmm. just to your point, I always say to our clients, you know, failure is feedback. Like, mm-hmm. whoop, you failed. But think about all the great things you learned from that failure. And it's really like what you do next with that. Like, do you just quit and give up? Or do you use that failure and do something different as far as like taking action? So mm-hmm. I love that. And so if somebody is listening right now and they're struggling with this extremely restrictive diets or these tactics, are there specific things that they maybe could do to start moving in the right direction as far as finding more of a sustainable approach, if it's with macros or some other way? But I just feel like a lot of women don't trust that they can do something different here. Like it mm-hmm. has to be some sort of restrictive diet or meal plan or program or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think warming yourself up to the idea that the way that you have been doing it isn't technically working. You think it is, or you're telling yourself that it is because it worked for a quote for a very short time period, or it worked decades ago. But if you really get down to it right now, is it actually working? And how do you really want to live your life? Like, are your actions aligned with how you envision your ideal life, being someone who has freedom and flexibility around food, that trusts themselves around food, that can make healthy decisions no matter where they are, if they're at home or if they're out, situations like that. And if you really get down to it, and you're honest with yourself, it's probably not how your actions are not aligned with that life right now. So what do you have to lose to try things a little bit differently? And I'd say maybe like a really good baby step would be to find an online calculator and assess your macro needs, your calorie needs without any deficit attached to it. So what are the calories it takes for you to be alive and for you to thrive in your active lifestyle? And then see kind of how far away you are from that. I'd say a really good first next step would be to try to align to those calories without any deficit attached. Because what I think a lot of women do is they only try hard, quote, try hard in their nutrition when they're trying to lose weight. So they're associating weight loss and restriction with doing good. And we're trying to break that, right? So you can eat enough and you can support your metabolism and you don't have to be trying to lose weight. You could just be matching your lifestyle, eating enough to support your needs. And that is a really great mindset shift because that has to come first, I think, before we earn the right to diet and earn the right to try to lose weight intentionally.
Mm-hmm, 100%. And we say the same thing over here as far as like earning that right to diet, because there's a lot of things that can go wrong if you are consistently under eating, which could be a great question right here. What are these ladies missing out on if they are somebody that's in that 1200 calorie diet mode? Or I've seen this on Instagram a lot, like the 1500 calorie range is where a lot of women stay stuck. What are they missing out on just continually under eating?
Well, a lot. I mean, I think a lot of women we hear who are starting to eat as much as what they need, they didn't realize that they weren't an angry person. They weren't a nitpicky person. They weren't uptight. They were just hungry and chronically underfed. So things like your energy level, your patience, you're not flying off the handle at your kids or your partner or anything like that. You finally wake up with energy. You don't need stimulants or coffee to kind of get you through the whole day. They didn't realize hunger was showing up in ways. I think that's a really common thing with women. It can show up as anxiety. It can show up as heart racing. It can show up as having no bandwidth to handle stress at your job or stress at home. You just are tightly wound. So eating enough, I think I'll talk about that sphere of just having more sense of calm and energy and relaxation in your life. Everything seems a little bit more peaceful and balanced when you eat enough. But the other side of that is when we talk about body composition changes, you really can't push yourself hard enough in the training that you need to build that muscle. You say you want a juicier butt, you want a tighter core and you want bolder shoulders, but none of that can happen if you're not eating enough. And so I think a lot of women write off that they're out of shape or they just don't have the energy they used to, or the slightest example is just they're not seeing changes in their body. And it might quite possibly be because they're not eating enough of those building blocks to build that muscle. And so when they do start to eat enough, the power that they have in the gym and like the confidence they have in those workouts is just amazing. So that's really awesome to watch. From our conversations, I know that you experience this too, like better sleep, better, more restful sleep, better libido, you know, just that stress bandwidth is so much better. So, I mean, I feel like the results are and the benefits are endless. They range from mental to physical to hormonal to metabolic. And there's really no shame in eating enough to support all those goals.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, preach it all day. And I always kind of jump. Like eating more solves a lot of problems.
Yes. I like to say that about lifting too. It's like eating enough and lifting probably support almost every single thing you want to do in your life. Like there's no goal that that's not appropriate for. There's no goal that that action is not appropriate for real. Mm-hmm.
I agree. So while we're on this topic here, as far as just this idea of eating more and maybe some of the other misconceptions around macros, like you do this so well on your account, just reframing things, you know, mindset shifts and whatnot. But I do just feel like a lot of women are like, the only way I can use macros is to lose weight, but you can use them to get strong. You can use them to build muscle, but any other things that women might not automatically think when they think of macros?
Certainly. I think, like I said before, whenever someone, especially if they have such a long history of dieting, they associate any changes with nutrition with wanting to lose weight. So when they embark on a macros journey or they started to use macros for the first time, they're still in that mindset. They're still treating it like a diet. So the first thing I like to tell people is that macros is a framework. Tracking macros is completely goal neutral. You can use it for whatever you want. I mean, we have plenty of clients that are using it to gain weight or to lose weight or to lose fat. Some people are just doing it to have a healthier relationship with food. So, I mean, people are using it just simply for education purposes and like learning how they feel when they play with their nutrition in certain ways. We never really get great nutrition education. And if you've had any history with dieting, your nutrition education has been framed by that diet. It's not science-based. It is diet and marketing based. So macros can simply like give you a fresh perspective and a clean plate for you to operate from there. So I'd say, yes, like that's number one is people are treating it like a diet. They're thinking that why would I ever use it if not for losing weight? And so when they age or when their goals change or when weight loss is not as important to them, they wonder how to use it. So I think first step is just recognizing that it's goal neutral. You can use it for whatever you want. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that, but I really do think that that's probably number one misconception. It's a second biggest is probably like you have to eat the same exact thing every single day to make it work. People get easily frustrated that the things that they love maybe don't quote fit in a macros approach. They think that if they're not hitting their macros, they're doing themselves a disservice. So they're continually like viewing it as passing and failing. Again, this is still a diet mindset. If I don't hit my macros, then I'm failing and I will not see the results. But I constantly have to tell people that even in the pursuit of you tracking to your macro goals, you're doing yourself a huge service. So I've said two things in one, but I think the main point being kind of under that heading of still treating it like a diet, even in the pursuit of you attempting to hit your macros, even if it takes you weeks and weeks and weeks to really get good at that, you're still doing your body a huge service. So don't give up early, is what I would tell that person. But I had another point within there, which is that you have to eat the same thing in order to make it work. And I think that really just comes down to allowing yourself to play in the sandbox with this a little bit, allowing yourself to realize that that pizza didn't really fit, or like my really high fat protein bars that I'm making every week are not really that high in protein. It's just like allowing yourself to like play with your nutrition a little bit more so that you can eat the foods that you love and help them fit in that framework of your macro goals. And it just takes some time. I mean, you're not going to just get your macro goals one day and hit them the very next day and forever. I mean, I've been working with this method for close to 8 years now, and it's like, it takes intention in order to hit your targets.
Mm-hmm. Agree 100%. And I mean, just what you were saying about like playing around with the macros, trying different things. And mm-hmm. of course, like not feeling bad.
Removing that, release that stuff. It's not helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always tell our clients, I'm like, treat yourself as a beginner, you know, as somebody learning to ski or ride a bike for the first time, you know, like you're not going to be great at it at first, but like you said, simply trying to track your macros and just being more aware of your food choices, you're going to eat better in the long run. So it's like a little of that like patience and grace and whatnot. I love that.
Yeah. What is it about us that we're so uncomfortable with being a beginner?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it may be the women that we attract, right? High achieving, driven women, they're data focused, like great qualities that have served you really, really well in life until it comes down to health and nutrition and fitness. Like you're, for whatever reason, so focused on trying to do it the best that you're not giving yourself the space to be a beginner. And like, there's so much beauty to be had in that early journey for sure.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. It's definitely, I always joke about that. Like I'm very type A, I'm a little bit more reformed. I'm probably like a type B plus A minus now, but there is that idea of perfectionism. And if you think about it, like you just don't want to feel that disappointment. Like you don't want to feel bad about yourself. So if you don't do it right, then you're definitely doing it wrong and it's not going to work, just like you were saying. So I do think it's more of that like fuzzy gray area and just being like a little bit kinder to ourselves and like what we are capable of doing when we first start with this journey, you know? So the other thing I want to talk about that you mentioned a little while ago, which is this idea of earning the right to diet. Cause I think a lot of women don't realize that they shouldn't be on a diet all the time, or maybe there are certain things that really need to be in place as far as their health and their habits and their behaviors go before they embark on a fat loss phase. Mm-hmm. And I know this is something you practice in your practice, and we do too, that we don't just randomly put people in fat loss phases or put them on a cut, but we talk about some of the things that are really important health-wise, behavior-wise, habit-wise, that really should be in place before you attempt to be in a fat loss phase.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tragedy if you hear of a client working with a coach and they hear they want to lose 30 pounds and they're right out of the gate. They're on macros that are completely too low for them. And what ends up happening in a cycle like that, whether or not you worked with a coach or not, you put yourself on a diet when you're not, quote, ready, is that there can be some metabolic and hormonal consequences. At best, you're not going to achieve your goals, but at worst, you're actually in a worse off position at the end of that diet than you were prior to starting. And so this is why we see many people not able to maintain their results. All I want for you, if we are embarking on a fat loss phase, is that you maintain the results that you achieve, that you see follow through for what all that energy and effort that you put in. And by me maybe backing us up a little bit and delaying the start of a calorie deficit probably better ensures that you're going to see the results and maintain the results that you want. So I know it can be hard to sit on your hands for a little bit and not go right out the gate trying to lose weight or to lose fat, but I promise you it's always better in the long run. So some of the things that we're looking for are, what is your dieting history? How long have you been attempting to eat less? Because with that comes some metabolic adaptation. Our body is going to sacrifice some of those non-essential functions in order to keep our heart beating and our brain firing and things like at a baseline working. But that means that we're not going to have as much energy for the making of and the maintenance of estrogen and progesterone and cortisol and testosterone. And those things are very important. So again, the non-essential functions fall away when our fuel stores are low, and those essential functions really stay put. Obviously, the body is smart and will keep you alive. But we see digestive issues with long-term under-eating. We see low thyroid output. We see kind of wonky cortisol levels with under-eating for a long period of time. We can see menstrual cycle issues, perimenopause and menopause turbulence, like feeling all of those symptoms at once in a very turbulent way. So yeah, so we want to make sure that like things from the chronic under eating standpoint, intentionally eating up to our needs for a matter of months is probably going to set you up and have a really great runway for success when you do a deficit later. I'll pause there and say that's physical and maybe like metabolic and physiological benefits to doing that. But then from the perspective of mental benefits of not dieting all the time, you suddenly learn what it feels like to not be dieting. Like we talked about earlier in this episode, you probably have no experience with that. You may just label yourself as the snack lady, as the hangry lady, as the lady who, if I don't have a meal every 3 hours, I'm going to bite your head off. Like, you don't have to be that person. It could quite possibly be that you're not eating enough. So get to know yourself as the person who does eat enough. Who is she? What does it feel like? So that when we do enter in a deficit, you can absolutely compare those experiences and have probably a much more healthy relationship with that deficit. You want to be in and you want to be out. Nobody wants to live there for a very long period of time.
Mm-hmm. Agree 1000%.
Yeah.
Well said. Well said. So one of the maybe challenges that I think some ladies see with macros is maybe the motivation to do it every day, or at least regularly. You know, kind of depends on your goals and, you know, what works best for you. I don't think you necessarily have to track your macros every single day to a T to get results, but it is important as far as having some consistency. But I think one of the big things that women say is that it's just too time consuming, or if they don't know how to track something perfectly, they just say, screw it. Do you have any advice there for helping people out as far as, I don't know if it's like hacks or just ways to make it easier, or just to light that fire under your butt to be like, yes, I'm tracking something because it's helping me be more aware of my choices to help me get to my goals. Because I do think, like, going back to that whole perfectionism thing, like if you're not doing it perfectly, it's like, what's
the point? Yeah, I do see that a lot. I think this is like twofold. I think the people who say it's like too complicated or time consuming might need the hacks. They might need a bit more practice with their app. And like you said, I mean, you're not good at something right away. So potentially giving yourself like, I'm just going to put on the hat of a beginner and I'm going to choose to be in a beginner for 3 to 4 weeks. And I'm going to track anything and everything, because that practice time will make you faster. And yes, maybe you could benefit from a few hacks of copying and pasting or doing some light meal prep and saving those recipes to your app or learning how to scan barcodes faster and easier, things like that. Certainly there are skills you can learn there to make it less time consuming, but I really do think that boils down to practice and playing with your technology a little bit more. I mean, you didn't know how to navigate Facebook when it first came out on your phone. And now you're a pro, you're like blipping around on Facebook or Instagram or all that. So it's the same thing with any technology. But when it comes to that person who's like, I want to have tabs. I want to achieve my goals, but I don't want it to take over my life. I do think that there are certain things that you have to decide. Are you chasing this goal all in, or are you just wanting to use this as a tool to like have tabs on your nutrition? Both are appropriate for different phases of your life. I absolutely would never tell somebody that they have to sign up for tracking macros for the rest of their life to maintain their weight. But same thing with budgeting. If you are really saving for something that's really important to you, you're probably going to be checking your bank account every day. You're probably going to be in there and like watching your finances, setting goals with your spending, because you really are so focused on that one big goal: paying down debt, buying a car, saving for your first down payment on a house. That requires some intentional looking at your budget and really a lot of focus around that. So think about it the same way with fat loss or weight loss or any other big goal you might have that nutrition complements. It's okay to say, I'm 100% in on this goal right now. For this short period of my life, I am like saying no to extras like alcohol, and I might be choosing sleep over social hour, or I might be going to meet my friends, but food's not going to be a part of the situation because I'm extremely focused on my ins and outs of my nutrition budget. And this is like the most important goal that I'm focused on right now. It doesn't have to be weight loss. It could be marathon training, could be CrossFit competition, could be improving your hormones. Like, it takes intention. But for the person who's like, I'm not really excited, I'm not jazzed about this goal, I think a lot of women just think they should be losing weight. Mm-hmm. It's like they're so familiar with that goal. They think that just because they have a little bit of extra weight, quote unquote, to lose, they must be pursuing it. Any other goal is not important unless I lose that weight. And I would caution you on that. It's a lot easier to go way head on something, or decide it's just not right, the right time to do that, and to just be a little bit more flexible and easy with your tracking. It's just a little check-in with yourself. You do a couple times a week, or maybe you just track protein, or maybe you just track your dinners. Like, there are plenty of ways to build flexibility into this if you're not somebody who's like hardcore ready and wanting to put all feet in, both feet in on one goal. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, 100%. And this is very much me. Like, I love macros. I see the benefit, but I'm just not a hardcore tracker. You know what I mean? I'll track a few times a week just to have those bumpers, as you're talking about, like bumpers and bumper bowling, but I'm definitely not a like hit your macros type person. So I know the benefits of just tracking your protein, or just tracking the meal that's like the most difficult for you, or if you're that crazy snacker, to just track your snacks and see how many snacks you're eating throughout the day. So
yeah, I put myself in that category as well. I got married in October, and I was tracking macros to make sure I was eating enough, because it's so easy to like, all your day is just like completely bonkers when you're planning a wedding and stuff. So I did it for that. And then also, I obviously wanted to look a certain way on my wedding day. So tracking macros and making sure I had an account of my ins and outs was good for me at that time. But then after the wedding was over and I had my honeymoon and we coasted right into the holidays, was not tracking at all. And so a good buffer between like maybe January, that's my birthday, we're in February now. It's not easy to go from not tracking your macros to diligently tracking again. And many people feel like they have to do that. My quick fix for this is just to do one at a time. Just track protein. If you're interested in getting back into tracking macros, just stick with your protein goal. 100 grams a day would be a great first step. Once that's easy, then maybe move up to your targeted protein goal. And then when that feels easy, maybe build in a little bit more diligence if you want to. But I'm like you. I mean, I teach this all the time, but in this particular moment of my life, I'm not interested in diligently tracking every single day because I don't have a specific goal right now that I'm like eager to chase. And that's so okay. Like, mm-hmm. It's okay to not be chasing something.
Yeah. And just to your point, I mean, I was actually going to ask you about like getting into tracking and some of like the priorities as far as like the protein and whatnot. But this idea that there's different seasons of life, and back to your point of just women always feel like they should be losing weight or they should be on a diet, but like you can go through these phases of life where you don't have a specific body composition goal in mind, that you're just kind of coasting. And I did a cut last spring, and it's the first time I've been in a fat loss phase in forever, like years. And I was tracking my macros then, but since then, been just kind of flying through life, just, you know, paying attention to my protein, because that's always more difficult to get for me. But I think it is nice to have macros as that tool, your back pocket for when you need them, but you don't have to track macros forever. So like signing up for macros, you can do them for a period of time. It doesn't need to be a forever thing or a forever and always thing. So
I usually tell people it's like you have no experience probably in your entire life eating as much as you should. So using macros to help reframe what how much food is appropriate for you is a completely honorable goal. You'll know after you've spent a period of time diligently tracking your macros. It's kind of like riding a bike. Once you learn how to do it, you don't have to like learn it ever again. It takes a while to kind of get back into the saddle maybe and to be an efficient rider, but it doesn't mean that you've forgotten everything. And for a lot of people, after having had a lot of experience of tracking macros day in and day out, they absolutely know if they're falling short on their needs or they're over consuming, even without tracking. They're like, oh, I don't feel my best. I know my workouts have felt better. I know my sleep has been better. So I might want to check in with myself, kind of like just holding yourself accountable, a little bit of tabs here and there. Checking in and tracking is a perfect way to do that. Just to kind of recenter yourself, get back there.
Yep. 100%. I agree with that. That actually happened to me recently where I think I was just being like a little lazy on my nutrition and I tracked my food and I was like, damn, I'm really low on carbs, not intentionally, just being lazy. And I started eating more carbs and I'm like, I feel so much better.
Yeah. Life is better.
Everything's better. Uh-huh. But anyways, as we wrap up here, I just have a fun, like couple personal questions that I ask everybody on my podcast. So what do you consider your superpower and why? And this can be anything. Could be related to food, nutrition, fitness, just anything in general.
Man, I think a lot of people do tell me, and I have really recognized this talent in myself, which is being able to take complex ideas and make them action oriented. My biggest thing that I want for people is that you're not just feverishly consuming information, you actually do something with it. So taking that complex, maybe it's nutrition or physiology or something, and making it a little bit simpler in a way that makes people want to take action. Because yeah, I mean, what's the point of being a coach if people don't ever take action or aren't feeling inspired to take action? And I think simplifying the message is probably at the root of that, because people get easily overwhelmed by how complicated some of these things can be. But yeah, I would say my superpower is probably distilling that information down and make it very simple and actionable.
Yep. 100%. I agree with that. That's why I was saying, I was like, I'm not following your account. I just love the information.
Yeah.
And then one more fun personal question is, what is your favorite life hack, which could be food, fitness, or just, you know, living life in general?
Favorite life hack. It's going to sound so boring, but I would call myself a systems queen, and I don't like to take actions, especially repeatable things. I like to make a system out of that. And obviously it served me super well in business from having an online business and having a team now. Everything is repeatable. People know like operating procedures, they know how to execute. So I'm trying to create a life that if I am having a down day or I'm having an off moment, everything still functions well. And so having those systems set up is really important for me for that. But even from like the perspective of like grocery shopping or HelloFresh and meal preparation, like systems around that really, really make my life easy. So life hacks are, I guess my life hack is creating systems for multiple areas of my life. Cause I will not and cannot depend on motivation. I cannot depend on feeling excited about every single thing, business, fitness, nutrition-wise, all the time. But because I have systems and probably because I practice discipline, things are working well and they're fine in my life and things are great. Like just because we have these systems in place.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And same. I created a ski packing list for the whole family. And I'm like, we're just printing this out every ski trip.
My new thing that I'm working on, because my husband and I are flipping a house in Iowa and it's coming along slowly. We're cash flowing all of it. So it's a slow process, but there's those little things like, okay, so we need the exterminator comes this many times a year. We have a hot tub. So it's like, does somebody come for that? So making a house manual is my new fun thing where I'm like monthly, this is a monthly checklist. This is a weekly checklist. This is a quarterly checklist. And I know that sounds so lame, but it makes things a lot easier. Everyone knows what's going on and we can pass responsibilities off on each other, which is, I think, a key for life for any partnership is just having, you know, an understanding of what all the household tasks are at any one point.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. I think you're an Enneagram 3 as well. Yeah. Yes. So yeah, I think we probably have a lot of things in common when it comes to.
Yeah.
But anyways, love this conversation. Love having you here. So as we wrap up, will you just tell people where to find you, how they can work with you, all those good details?
Yeah, well, you can find anything you want on www.emilyfieldrd.com. So that would be the greatest place to house all my offerings. We have coaching, we have courses, we have DIY options as well. So I really try to meet you where you're at. If you're somebody that needs expert guidance, or if you're somebody that's like excited to DIY it, we've got something for you. But like Tina said, I'm on Instagram as well under the same name, EmilyFieldRD. And I also have a podcast called Macros Made Easy. So if you really like this form of education and talking through some of this stuff, I'd highly recommend checking out Macros Made Easy, because that's where we get to do all of that.
Awesome. I'll be sure to include all those details in our show notes. And thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks so much, Tina.